I will read Acts 13:32, where it says, "And we declare unto you the glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children." You may be seated. This one is called Eliminate Separate Races. You might remember that from 2 weeks ago, that phrase, Eliminate Separate Races. Can anyone claim that this is not a racial statement? Fathers, children, is that racial? Yes, it's racial. The Bible is full of statements like this one. My question is, then how could a rabbi say the following unless he is deliberately lying? And I'm going to read you again what Joe gave me. It says, quote, "If anything, the law should encourage, not forbid, the intermingling of bloods. But legislation cannot change the human heart. The only way we can accomplish that," change the human heart, "the only way we can achieve a final solution to racial prejudice is to create a change of races so universal that no one can preen himself on his racial purity or practice the barbarianism to safeguard it. The deliberate," and I underline deliberate, "the deliberate encouragement of interracial marriages is the only way to hasten this process. And it may be the time is growing short." Now, if the rabbi says that, it probably is. "The dominance of our world has begun to shift like cargo in a listing vessel from the white races to the colored. The sooner we adjust to this fact, the better it would be for our children." That's not true. "For he might well acknowledge, even the most enlightened of us, that we will never hear to completely eliminate racial prejudice until we eliminate separate races." That was a quote from Rabbi Abraham L. Feinberg from McLean's magazine, September 5th, 1967. The rabbi tells his lie that if they eliminate separate races, then it'd be better for our children. They mean eliminate our race by interracial marriage. We would have mongrel children. Why would it be better? All that would happen is that our children would no longer be a part of the kingdom of God. That's not better. That's worse. They would be cut off like Esau's offspring. They would be a mongrel just like the rabbi. Introduction. The occult holiday of Halloween was over the last two Saturdays ago. And the day after, Christmas decorations and bargains were already begun in most stores. Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, is a special day that has already seen its time as the lead day of the Christmas season. It will still be a special time, but not the main selling day of the year. Let's just tell what it is. Christmas is the Roman Catholic Church's holiday, which is a mixture of paganism with Christian names. Puritans did not celebrate Christmas. In fact, they abhorred it. Puritans, even the ones who settled in Plymouth, Massachusetts, refused to celebrate this Roman Catholic holiday. You can read it in their diaries. They worked on Christmas Day. That was a law. They had to work on Christmas Day unless it fell on the Sabbath. They didn't even have a special family meal. They kept it as just another day. Now, that's our heritage. Times have greatly changed in the last 400 years in America. Protestants are no longer really Protestants. They don't protest hardly anything that is Roman Catholic. In fact, they are now called the daughters of the Roman Catholic Church. I'm going to pick on the Lutherans. Lutherans don't even believe what Martin Luther believed and wrote in his books. Why they're called Lutherans is beyond me. The vast majority of them are not Calvinistic in their theology, which is what Martin Luther was. And they do not know who the Bible says is their eternal enemy and who are the chief liars in the world. Many Lutherans say that Martin was senile when he wrote the book that exposed the Jews and their lies. The vast majority of Lutherans have never seen or read the book. Every year, the same verses of Scripture are read in the Protestant and Catholic churches about the season of Christmas, the supposed birthday of Jesus. But Christians have a deaf ear to them. For it doesn't say he was born on December 25th, for that was the birthday of the false god Mithras, and it was too cold for the shepherds to be outside herding the sheep. But it does tell who Jesus will ultimately rule over. Question, who is to be ruled over by Jesus? Luke chapter 1, verses 30-33. And the angel said unto her, Mary, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Well, Mary was given this information about her future firstborn son 6 months after John the Baptist had been conceived. It was given to her by an angel. But have you ever noticed who Jesus was to rule over after he had grown up? First, this scripture says that God would give him the throne of his father, David's throne. Well, A, where was the throne when this first was given to Mary? B, who sits on the throne today and who do they rule over? The Judeo-Christian cult believes that the throne was vacant when this first was told Mary. They believe there hasn't been an occupant of the throne of David since the nation of Judah went into exile by the Babylonians over 2,500 years ago. But they failed to see that Jeremiah planted the daughters of the king into the house of Israel. Jeremiah took one of the daughters of King Zedekiah and married her with the king of Ireland. This prophecy and several of the parables spoke told of this amazing situation. It's called what? The Mysteries of the Kingdom. The throne of David, which only ruled over which house? The house of Judah. For several centuries, would now rule over the house of Israel, which it never ruled over before. Carn T at Long Crew near Oldcastle, Royal Meath in Ireland is the tomb of Jeremiah, the Bible prophet, who was commissioned by God to tear down, uproot from Jerusalem, and plant in Ireland the daughter, the tender twig, Tia Tepe, from the line of David, symbolized in Scripture as the high cedar of King Zedekiah in 588 B.C., the throne of Israel. I got this from a website on the internet. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. The proof of the fact that this Qumran is the tomb of Jeremiah is written in stone and hieroglyphics on the stones within the Qumran itself. That's another quote from the website. So how did Jeremiah come to and end up being buried in Ireland when he was a native of Antioch in near Jerusalem? Now, I got these pictures from the internet. There is the tomb of Jeremiah on the Longcrew Island right there. The tomb of Jeremiah on the Longcrew Island, Jeremiah 33:17, for thus says the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Here's the tomb of Oldham Fada, which is Jeremiah in Jerusalem. And I'll show you where it is on the map if you ever want to go see it. If I ever went to Ireland, I'd like to see it. Here's Dublin. There's Tara. That's where they were crowned. And there's Longcrew Oldcastle. It's right in there. I don't know why they'd bury someone who was never there. Is this prophecy true or false? That's my question. Is it true or is it false? Is it made up? About the year 580 B.C., the daughter of Zedekiah of the house of David was brought to Ireland by Jeremiah the prophet and was married to the chief Irish king, Ecohad, who was descended from Calcol of Zerah's Judah. True or false? From Ireland, many years later, the throne went to Scotland. And from Scotland in the days of King James, it came to England. Have you ever wondered why England still has the throne in existence? It is very expensive for them to pay for this vast amount of living expenses for all the royalty and the rituals. I was greatly amazed when the wedding of Prince Charles and Diana was televised in America. And both of my parents got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and watched all the proceedings. I was flabbergasted. I was fascinated by all this until I realized that these are the close relatives of the throne of the house of David. Then I understood. Number two. Second, if you don't believe verse 32, then what are you going to do with verse 33? The angel told Mary that Jesus would reign over the house of Jacob forever. The house of Jacob is not the whole wide world. Mary wasn't instructed that Jesus would rule over all the nations of the world forever. No one can make the house of Jacob to mean all the races of the world. Protestant denominations do not like these restrictions, so they just ignore them. Couple quotes. Deuteronomy 10:15. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers. Fathers is plural. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To love them. He loved our fathers. And he chose who? There, the three fathers, seed after them. Even you above all people as it is this day. Now Moses said that in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4:37. And because he loved thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out of his sight and his mighty power out of Egypt. My question is, God chose... whose seed? Whose seed did he choose? If a seed is elected, isn't that racial? Let's go back to what Rabbi Abraham L. Feinberg said. We will never completely eliminate racial prejudice until we eliminate separate races. If you eliminate all the separate races, and I just put in parentheses, that means there's more than one race, isn't it? That would include God's covenant people. That includes us. Maybe that is one reason why God told his people to stay away from the other races. Numbers 23:9. Lo, this people, Israel, shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. This presents the separation racially of Israel from the other nations. What was one of Jesus' warnings to the church at Pergamos? Well, look at Revelation 2:14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast been them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Balaam told Balak that if he would give his most beautiful women to the Israelite men and cause them to commit, I added, interracial fornication with him, that God himself would do what? Curse Israel. There were 20,000 men of Israel who died in this interracial incident that's told about us in the book of Numbers. And we have people who are in the Church of Jesus Christ at Pergamos teaching the same doctrine in the first century. But what about now? I got this from the Tulsa, Oklahoma newspaper, October 3rd, 2015. That's last month. Here's what it said. Quote, annual Tulsa Together service seeks racial unity. That's the headline. Quote, we've worked with the Roman Catholics for many years. Well, that's a negative right there, isn't it? And they have an interest in seeing the walls of racism torn down, said the black preacher. President of the Christian Ministers Alliance and founder of Tulsa Together. Casey said small group discussions will be held at 5:30 p.m. preceding the service. And participants will discuss the subject that the most segregated hour in America is 11 a.m. Sunday when people are in church. Amen, brother. It's always been that way. And they want to eliminate it. They don't want that to be the most segregated hour in America. He said, this, I'm still quoting from the newspaper, he said the recent racial unrest in the nation underscores that the service is more needed than it has ever been. We need to show that we all can work together, all races and denominations, he said. We believe in Jesus. He's our Savior. And his prayer was that we would all be one, unquote. Tulsa Together. My question, where is the scripture that says this last sentence? Jesus prayed that all the races of the world would be one. Where is the verse? God destroyed many mongrels that were living in the world when he caused the long rainstorm that ended the first attempt of the total destruction of a race. What is happening now is our enemies are attempting to destroy all of us again. It is similar to what happened in South Africa when the Zulus held their day of reconciliation with the four truckers. Bless me. I remember when that happened. They had the Battle Blood River, which comes up December 13th. Instead of having the celebration, they had the four truckers on one side of the river and the Zulus on the other. The four truckers walked across the river to the Zulus, and they had their day of reconciliation. I said, by golly, we're keeping then the Battle Blood River. That made me so angry. We kept the Battle Blood River for a couple years. But now we have it. It's in our country, Tulsa. Day of reconciliation. They may try to destroy God's covenant people, but they will not succeed. They have drastically lowered the number of Israelites by what? Birth control, abortions, vaccinations, drug medicines, and race mixing. They are flooding the countries of the Israelites with foreigners, so the Israelites will soon be a minority race in their own countries. But they will not totally succeed. Why? God will not allow them. Didn't allow him the first time. He's not going to allow him the second. Jeremiah 31, 36. If those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me. Those ordinances of the sun and the moon have not disappeared yet. Did the sun come up today? So still going. And so Israel is still the same people today. And they remain the same people in the future. Now let's look a little bit in the Bible here. Do you see they are trying to get Israel to violate God's law of separation? They want Israel to mix and have all the races of the world present in their countries. But let me ask you a question. How many times does the Bible say the Lord God of Israel? 110 times. How many times does the Bible say the God of Israel? 90 times. How many times does the Bible say the Holy One of Israel? 31 times. How many times does the Bible say the people of Israel? 19 times. How many times does the Bible say my people? 231 times. How many times has it got to say it? It never says the God, Lord God of all the races of the earth. But that is what most so-called Christians believe. Unbelievable. Zechariah's testimony. I'll never forget the sermon that was given by Dan L. At our church. It was probably over 10 years ago. He told of what a man who could not speak for 9 months would say once he got his power of speech back. The man was Zacharias, John the Baptist's father. He began to speak after he wrote on a writing tablet that his newly born son would not be named after himself, Zacharias, but his name would be John, like he was told that it would be. This was the name that was given him by God. When he wrote that, his tongue was finally loosed and he began to talk. Can you believe that? For 9 months, all during the pregnancy, he couldn't talk. He doubted it. And Buddy and his son was born. The women said, name Zacharias after his father. He's real great. No, his name is not Zacharias, his name is John. No one's ever named John in his family. He began to speak. What did he say? It's the most fabulous. It's a fact. And they read this at Christmas time and don't even know what they're saying. Luke chapter 1, verse 67 through 77. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. What? He's filled. And he prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. There's one of the times it's used. Lord God of Israel. For he hath visited and redeemed, there's again, his people. His people he redeemed. Notice that when Zacharias said his first words, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. His first sentence was, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He didn't say, blessed be the Lord God of all the races. His sentence continued by saying, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He didn't say, for he has visited and redeemed all the races of the world. Verse 69. And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies. From the hand of all that hate us. The angel tells Mary that her son would be a descendant of David, the rightful heir of the king of Israel. He continued to tell her that they should be saved from our enemies and from all that hate us. This is a shock to most Judeo-Christians. The true Christians have enemies, and that people hate us. They are so confused that they say that Jesus loves everyone and died for everyone. And everyone has the same opportunity to be saved. That would include the people who are our enemies and the people who hate us. Verse 72, Zacharias is continuing. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of my life. My question is, verse 74, who's the us? Who's the us talking about? Is that all races of the world? Is that the black guy in Tulsa? It says racial reconciliation? Who was promised to receive the mercy given in the covenant to the fathers? It's none other than the racial seed of Israel, who would be freed from their enemies, Egyptians, and provide the opportunity to serve our God without fear. Zacharias continues, verse 76, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord, prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Well, that's quite a verse. This is one of many scriptures that state that those to be saved were already Jesus' people before he came, but were in an unsaved state. Were his people before they received knowledge of their salvation, or were they their people after? Good question to ask a Judeo-Christian. Isaiah chapter 53 is a chapter that is read during Easter and Christmas. It tells of the 16 things that were done to our Savior. His visage was marred, his form was marred, they disbelieved in him, they despised him, they rejected him, they hid their faces from him. They esteemed him of no value, they esteemed him as a suffering justice for their own crimes. They went away from him, they ignored him, went their own ways, they oppressed him. They afflicted him, they slew him in anger, they took justice from him, they buried him with the wicked, they classed him as a criminal. But they failed to notice who he suffered all of this for. They believed that he suffered for all races of mankind in the earth. But Isaiah 53 verse 8 says something way different. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. Now we get to the Southern Baptist Convention. This is what really set me off. I couldn't believe this. I got so upset I had to do this message. Here's the quote, Jackson, Mississippi. It said, racism is from Satan and his demonic forces. The only hope for its defeat is Jesus Christ united across societal divisions. Southern Baptist Convention President Ronnie Ford told a culturally diverse group of Baptists in Mississippi November the 4th. Well, this is November the, 15th? 11 days ago. What? It's from Satan and his demonic forces? Here's the quote from Mr. Floyd. I believe that the issue of racism is from Satan and the demonic forces of hell. Southern Baptists, they split over this? They used to believe this. Go back to 1860 to see what they believe. They're believing Satan and demonic forces, according to this guy. Floyd told hundreds gathered in Mission, Mississippi's racial reconciliation celebration at the Jackson Convention Center. Wow. Racism is completely opposite from the message of Jesus Christ. It is completely opposite of the message of love. It is completely opposite of the message of dignity, value, and the sanctity of human life. It is completely opposite of the message of reconciliation. That's what he said. So what the Southern Baptists used to believe was from Satan and his demonic forces. They are definitely saying that what we believe is from Satan and the demonic forces. That's what they say we believe. This is crazy. This is calling evil good and good evil. Let us look at what the Southern Baptist Convention listed as their points of belief on this issue with my comments. This is what they came up with. Here's their resolution. Whereas, the scriptures teach that God has created all men and women in his image, Genesis 1:27, and has made from one man and one woman all peoples to live on the earth, Genesis 3:20 and Acts 17:26, and I'll stop the quote. That's their first statement. I'm not going through all this. I picked out Acts 17:26 because it's used all the time. And he made of one blood's added. He made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined the times before appointed in his bounds of their habitation. The word blood is not in the Greek translation. This verse is simply added wrongly, I might add. The all nations of the earth to dwell in is the Israel nations. And I list a bunch of them. Sweden, Finland, Norway, Germany, England, Ireland, Scotland, France, Iceland, United States, Canada, Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, so forth. Now we go back to what he says. The scripture says, this is Mr. Floyd, from one man he has made every nationality to live on the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. He did this so they might seek God, and perhaps they might reach out and find him, even though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and exist. How many Chinese people were worshipers of God in the Old Testament? How many from New Zealand worship God? They never heard of God. How many from Mexico? South Africa? This is nothing more than a repeat of what Answers in Genesis believes. And they got front page news about their ark this week. And they well, the press is in favor of them. So there is no race that could be older than 6,000 years or the age of Adam, right? If a race is older than that, how could they be descended from Adam if they were before Adam? Well, that was their first whereas. Now, the second whereas that they have, whereas God loves the world, John 3:16, sending Jesus to die for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2:2, and in Christ is reconciling to himself people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, Revelation 5:9, and, well, I'll give Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou worthy take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, nation, people, and nation. I add this, it is popular to miss the meaning of out and make this to mean of instead of out of, to try and accommodate every race. The prophet only spoke about Israel in connection with both the blood and the gathered to the city. If you flip back one page, But they sung a new song, that, for thou hast was slain and hath redeemed to us to God by the blood of every kindred, tongue, and people. It's out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Okay, next whereas, our justification for God is based on faith in Jesus Christ alone and not on our authenticity. Galatians 3:27-28. Let's look at Galatians 3:27-28. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. You see these verses all the time used in the Protestant churches. This hung up in the balcony of the CHCA school. This verse. What these two verses are saying, that does not matter whether or not Israelites came from Judea or Greece, or whether they had been in slavery or free, or whether they are male or female. They're all now one in Jesus Christ. And how they get Jew and Greek to mean people of all the world is another mystery. The next whereas. God has made believers one in Christ, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and uniquely qualified to stand together in faith. And they used Ephesians 2:15-16. Well, let's look at Ephesians 2:15-16. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. They always use these verses to try and show a scripture reference to their false beliefs. Paul was writing to Gentile Christians, Ephesians 2:11, who were without the anointed, aliens to Israel's blessings, strangers to the covenants, having no hope in God and without God in the world, is what it says. They used to be far off, but now made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ was necessary to reconcile the two men into one. What was put away was the animal sacrifices that gave him only 1 year of grace. Who were these two men? It's the house of Judah and the house of Israel, Gentiles, who were in a divorced state for over 700 years, which caused them to be without hope. The two parties concerned are the house of Judah and the house of Israel, not Israelites and not Israelites. The middle wall partition was between these two. In truth, then, is there any other race like unto thee? Deuteronomy 33:19. The next whereas. Whereas the Lord has given his people the mission of making disciples of every nation, Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They totally ignore the multitude of verses which teach who the all nations are. Here's one of them. Psalm 147:19-20. He has shown his word unto Jacob and his statutes unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they, the other nations, have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. These two verses are very limiting and specific, and relate exclusively to Israel as a race. The Southern Baptists, as well as almost all other so-called Christians of today, do not believe this. This is a clear statement, and note this spoken word is not given to other races. This is not a popular concept or a popular teaching now, but it's confirmed in both Testaments. I'll show you one place, Acts 10:36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel. Now, Acts 10:36 is after what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The Apostle Paul agrees with Psalm 147, but the Southern Baptist Convention does not. They don't even mention the covenant that was made with our fathers. Nowhere in their statement do they mention the covenant. And the, quote, blood of the everlasting covenant that was instrumental in providing our salvation is not mentioned either. Psalm 147 said, he has not dealt so with any other nation. And the Southern Baptist Convention and all the other racial reconciliation committees totally ignore it. But Israel is unique. The whole Bible is about Israel and Israelites. Non-Israel races are mentioned in the Bible in two ways. Number one, they impinged upon Israel, and two, in connection with world empires. It is not difficult to conclude that the Bible is a book primarily about God's purposes for Israel as a people, because Jehovah is consistently declared to be the God of this one people. Because we do not find this expression of purpose for other races, we cannot presume anything that is not said about them. They go on with their other whereases. Whereas, racism is sin, because it disregards the image of God in all peoples and denies the truth of the gospel that believers are all one in him. The next whereas. In 1995, the Southern Baptist Convention publicly repented of its own complicity in the sin of racism, which came from who? Who'd they say it come from? Satan and the demonic forces. They don't say it here, but that's where they said it came from. So for most of their life, the Southern Baptist Convention was worshiping Satan and his demonic forces. That's what they're saying. That has divided both the body of Christ and the broader culture. And whereas, we grieve over the continued presence of racism and the recent escalation of racial tension in our nation. And, whereas, the Southern Baptist Convention has taken numerous steps to enlist qualified individuals of all races and ethnicities for leadership roles. And, whereas, Southern Baptists in both our congregations and entities increasingly reflect the racial and ethnic diversity in our communities and nation, now resolved, be it resolved, now we get to resolve things, resolved that the messengers to the Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Columbus, Ohio, June 16 through 17, 2015, rededicate ourselves to the holy responsibility and privilege of loving and disciplining people of all races and ethnicities in our communities. I'm going to throw up before I get through here. And be it further resolved that we urge churches to demonstrate their heart for racial reconciliation by seeking to increase racial and ethnic diversity in church staff roles, leadership positions, and church membership. And be it further resolved that we urge Southern Baptist entities and convention committees to make leadership appointments that reflect the racial and ethnic diversity of the body of Christ and of the Southern Baptist Convention. And be it further resolved that we continually prioritize and monitor our progress in adequately representing the increasing racial and ethnic diversity of our communities and our local congregation and our entities, and be it finally resolved that we call on Southern Baptists to be faithful ambassadors of reconciliation in their personal relationships and local communities as they demonstrate the power of the gospel to reconcile all persons in Christ. Southern Baptist Convention is the biggest Protestant organization in the United States. This is the problem. They say that what we believe is from Satan and his demonic forces. We say that what they believe is the teaching of the total destruction of our race. Well, who's correct? You can't be quiet forever because you're jamming us down our throat. My conclusion. 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 23. Look at this verse. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people? Even like Israel, whom God went to redeem a people and to make himself a name. It is Israel alone who are stated to be the people God went to redeem. The kinsman redeemer. Matthew 2:6. Out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Here we are told that Jesus ultimately rules the state to be over Israel. Acts chapter 1 verse 6. Lord, will you at this time restore again? Restore again. It means once it was, right? Restore again the kingdom to Israel. The disciples asked Jesus right before what? He ascended this question. The kingdom was once the entire Israel nation. Then it had some changes. Would he restore again the kingdom to Israel? His parables led up to that question, as many of them taught this mystery, that the kingdom which was first the entire Israel nation, then went to Judah, then went to perverted rule of bad figs and Edomites, would go back to the house of Israel, which contained a lot of the house of Judah, who had been ruled over by the house of David of Judah for over 7 centuries. Acts 13:17. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. There are a multitude of Old Testament scriptures confirming this racial selection. We cannot ignore the relationship between Israel, our fathers, and the people being dressed. They are all the same race. Acts 3:25. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kingdoms of the earth be blessed. This is a racial statement. It concerns only one race. But Scripture is not supposed to be racist, according to popular anti-Christian doctrine. So when could this covenant to our fathers have changed after the book of Acts? For this was written after the crucifixion and resurrection of our Savior. Acts 28:28-29. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. By Jews, they mean wrongly that is Israel that's finished with the gospel. And here's what they do. They say that Israel and Jew is interchangeable in the scriptures. It's not. The house of Israel can't be. For they were taken captive by the Assyrians and removed from the promised land a long time before the Edomites became impostors of Judah. Edomites themselves publicly claimed to be descendants of only Judah, or the kingdom of Judah. Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. While in their own encyclopedia, they say they are descended from Esau. Since the lost tribes of the house of Israel are alive and well, and they only hold the birthright promise of the Abrahamic covenant, what name are they called? Not Jews, but Gentiles. At the end of Luke's letter in the book of Acts, he says that Paul stated that he was in prison. Why was he stated in prison? Because of the hope for Israel. Acts 20:20. It all fits. You can't hold the two opposing positions. Either you believe Mr. Floyd of the Southern Baptist Convention that said that racism is of the demonic forces, or you are a Christian identity believer, or you're nothing. It's impossible to believe and teach both the traditional universal gospel to all races and the exclusive kingdom of heaven over Israel at the same time. I asked you, do you believe Mr. Floyd and the Roman Catholics, the Greek Orthodox Catholics, and all the Protestants, and all the evangelicals, and all the spiritualists, and all the racial reconciliations, and all the non-Israelite Christians, and all the mongrel Christians, and all the Freemasons, etc., or do you believe Christian identity? Do we deny what the God our fathers has created and ordered in our ordained place as the only covenant people? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.